Thanks for tuning in to the Roundtable Podcast. If you notice, my
what happened?
Kids.
Oh no!
Because it was like last night, Dad. Let's wrestle and pillow fight. Sure. So we're going, and then at one point I was kind of like, you know, on my back like that, and Lucy just like came, both knees, bam, right in my back. Oh. So at the moment I was like, oh yeah, oh ouch. But this morning I was like, yep, thanks, Lucy. So anyways, if I'm like turning like that, now you know why. I'm getting old, Dawn.
You stiff-necked.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the snow this morning?
I didn't have a whole lot of feeling for it.
Listen, I've lived...
All I knew was that it's going to be gone shortly.
I know.
But it's just...
I've lived here for almost 5 years, and every spring this has happened. And every spring
I forget,
though. So it was melting. I'm shoveling snow onto the road. Woo!
It's
over! And put the shovel away, brought our bikes out into the garage, and then...
Full on spring.
Yeah, and I had checked, and I was like, oh, yeah, there'll probably be snow. So I just put, like, a light jacket on and opened the front door this morning. I'm like...
You gotta be.
Oh, anyways.
See, I was very sure this would happen again, so it hasn't
you're
really
a pro.
Surprised me. So.
I was just hoping for a Sabbath from the snow.
Yeah.
You see that segue? Anyways, people are probably like, what are we
Where
just
are
watching you guys chit chat? But thanks for tuning in for real. If you're new to the podcast, we've just started videoing it just to. I don't know, another element. I don't know if anybody...
We did want you to know we actually have a round table.
Yep.
And
notes and Bibles and our sponsors here. But we had a question come in a few weeks ago.
Yep.
And I had thought that we had answered it, but apparently not. We may have talked about the Sabbath in one of the other podcasts. But the person asked you, so why don't you say what was the question?
Hey, when you do a podcast, I would love to hear just specifically about the Sabbath. Like, is it a day we actually should still be observing?
Yeah.
Or what's the deal with the Sabbath? Because I know the one passage I wanted to look at, it's in the Ten Commandments, but in Exodus 31, Moses is reviewing the covenant. And in that section there, Exodus 31, 12 to 18, it says this is supposed to be an observation for generation to generation and an eternal like covenant between the people.
Hmm.
So it sounds like this is something we're supposed to do for eternity. So they were wondering, okay, what's the deal with that? Are we disobeying that or is something else going on? So
yeah, and I've had that conversation with people before, like, should Sunday supposed to be the Sabbath, no work, no nothing. And I've had some people I've talked to are like, no, that's the old thing. One guy that I talked to, he was like, for sure, no, the Sabbath, no work. So I asked him, because his father-in-law was a farmer. I said, so if your father-in-law called you on a Sunday afternoon and said, hey, my tractor's busted, would you come help me fix it? I said, you would say no? Yep. I would say, no, it's the Sabbath. I went, how's your relationship with your father-in-law? But he was adamant. Like, no, we're told to keep the Sabbath forever. So we want to, I guess, walk through that. Because if it is a commandment forever, then, yeah, I guess a lot of Christians were disobeying. Or is it obsolete?
Or even which day is...
right?
Well, you're observing Sunday. Well, that's not even the Sabbath, so you're doing something that you're not even...
Yeah, maybe the Seventh-day Adventists are right about that. So let me read it then. Let's just read Exodus 31. Like you said, Don, it is in the Ten Commandments, but this is... And that's in Exodus 20. But Exodus 31, Moses kind of... the Lord speaking to Moses. It says, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. So there's okay. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. So, I mean, there's some serious words in there.
Yeah.
I mean, God says, yeah, it's a sign of this covenant. Keep it because it's holy. Anyone who profanes the Sabbath, put to death. Whoever does any work on it, you're cut off. The reason being, hey, this God, you know, worked for 6 days. Yeah. And he rested, so there's the pattern. And then that phrase, keep it as a covenant forever.
What I find really interesting, as I did a little bit of studying, that the word for all generations and as a covenant forever is the same language that's used when you're supposed to keep the Passover.
Okay.
And the circumcision.
all the guys listening going to...
Yeah, and several other things, the same language is used, the same Hebrew words, keep this throughout all generations and do this forever. So it happens in all these, the Passover, circumcision, the Sabbath, and the Day of Atonement, like the once a year sacrifice for Israel's sins. So I found that really interesting that the language is used in all these observations that God commanded them to do.
Yeah.
So I think there's something going on there.
Yeah.
I guess as we look towards the New Testament, and even now we're looking through the end of Matthew, the things like the Passover lamb, Scripture tells us Jesus fulfilled that, so we actually don't have to sacrifice that lamb.
Yeah, even though God said in the Old Testament, forever.
Mm-hmm. And he said that was circumcision.
Yeah.
And now Paul says circumcision is in the heart. It's been fulfilled in Jesus too. So we know these two are fulfilled through Jesus. So then we can also have, that's a clue to say, obviously the Sabbath is also pointing to something.
Yeah.
And so it even says there, it's a sign. And we know as we head towards the New Testament, all these things pointed to Jesus. So now how does the Sabbath do that?
Yeah.
And that was just really interesting to find that all these things had the same language, that we're supposed to do this from generation to generation and forever or eternally.
Yeah, and it's I think some people, like something that we forget often is these very physical things had spiritual meaning and spiritual fulfillment, and we forget that sometimes. Yep. Like that, and that's where a lot of people get hung up. Well, God said that it was forever. Yeah, but that physical sign was pointing to a greater kind of spiritual reality. Like, so yeah, we don't offer lambs every year on Passover because Jesus spiritually fulfilled that, and he is the, and not, sorry, not just, like he physically died, but it has this spiritual component where the Passover lamb, it could never do that. It was just a lamb. It was just... It never dealt with the sin issue, and even circumcision, like Paul, like we don't literally cut parts of our heart out. It's a spiritual fulfillment. So, I think lots of people forget that.
Well, I think that was even a charge God had against the Israelites that they were so focused on. Okay, we got to keep the Sabbath down to the letter. Do this sacrifice, and if we do that, we'll be good. And God says, "No, you missed the point."
Yep.
This is pointing to something else, and it's an act of faith and worship.
Yeah.
When, which I often do too, as long as I do the thing, I'll be fine. Uh-huh. And God says, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want your religion.
Yeah.
I want your heart, and this is an expression or a symbol of your faith in me.
Yeah.
So I know even in the Old Testament, said, yeah, you keep the Sabbath. You think doing that is going to be okay, but you missed the point.
Yeah. And then when you get to Jesus' time, they had put all of these extra rules and regulations, and you know, and when you read it, some of it's just like ridiculous. Like if you're gonna give food to the poor, well, you have to stay inside your house and pass it out the doorway, right, so you're not leaving your house. Like just hey, and then check, we're keeping the Sabbath. And man, isn't this restful? Like all this, like you missed the whole point. And then even when Jesus in Matthew 12. the disciples are picking grain to eat because that was the rule, you know, on the edges. Poor people and people who were journeying, they were allowed to pick. And the Pharisees go, they picked grain on the Sabbath. They're not doing what's lawful. And Jesus even says, right, I tell you something greater than the temple is here. I desire mercy. Same thing that was God said all throughout. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So notice that Jesus doesn't come down on his disciples. Hey, you're right. You're working on the Sabbath. He comes down on the religious leader saying, you've missed the entire point. Like, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. So that gives us another clue going, okay, so maybe there's something deeper here.
Yeah. I think one of the things is, like, they were commanded to do no work. It was interesting. He doesn't say anything about worship or anything. It's just you're supposed to have a day of rest. I think worship was there.
Yeah.
But it was actually a day to stop working and rest and refresh yourself. And I was reading, too, like, how the Israelites would work hard all week, physically at their job, but also every day sacrificing, like there was constant activity at the temple, working to try to keep this covenant relationship with God in a good place. It was work, work, work. And God says on the seventh day, rest. And that pointed to something later on that there would be a rest from the work.
Yeah.
And especially the religious work, it would stop because they did it 6 days a week.
Huh.
Week in, week out, they never worked enough to find this rest in God.
Hmm.
And when Jesus came, he was the rest.
Wow.
So like Hebrews 4 says, they stopped working.
Yeah.
And they found rest in Jesus. So it's just neat how that points to something Jesus fulfilled, this rest they were longing for, waiting for. Colossians chapter 2.
Yeah, I was just going there.
Paul
man.
Is teaching about this. So there were religious people trying to say, you got to keep the Sabbath. You got to keep all the Old Testament regulations. And this is what Paul says in Colossians 2, 16 to 17. It said, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Paul himself says, you guys missed it. The Sabbath day points to the reality, which is Christ, the real rest.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just neat that Paul actually dealt with that. And even when the church in Acts 15 was deciding, okay, what do we tell the Gentiles to observe? The Sabbath was never...
Nope.
You need to keep the Sabbath.
Nope.
No, it wasn't there because the rest was already found in Christ.
Yeah.
And so that was no longer a requirement.
Mm-hmm. I even like in Romans 14 when Paul, you know, he says, this is Romans 14:5, one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. So one person thinks, if you want to go there, Sabbath is better than all the others. And the other person says, no, all days are the same. He says, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes a day, observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord. The one who abstains in honor of the Lord. None of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's. And then he goes on, why do you pass judgment? So Paul even says in Romans, one person is convinced that, you know, we got to keep the Sabbath. We got to keep that special day. One person says, no, you don't. And Paul says, oh, it's almost as if Paul's saying, like, it's not an issue to talk about. Get over it. And if somebody wants to do that, fine. If somebody doesn't want to do it, fine. It's not an issue here. So I just appreciate how Paul says that, too. He doesn't even come down on those people who keep the Sabbath. He says, okay, if you're convinced in your mind, fine. But if you're not, fine. Like, he just kind of says, it's not an issue. And then I saw you flip to Hebrews. That's where I was going to go to. Hebrews talks more along the lines of this fulfillment in Jesus. I know both of us are like, man, these silly microphones. It's like up on your glasses. people are going to hear you.
There we go.
Hear you blink. Well, that was a weird sound. But Hebrews 4, really for me, it's just so beautiful. He says, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of us should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them. I'm just going to say Paul. Yeah. Most people think it's Paul. I hate going, the author of Hebrews, it's Paul. For the good news came to us just as to them, the Israelites. But the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, as I swore in my wrath, you shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day. Today, saying through David, so long afterwards, in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So, Paul in Hebrews says, there remains a Sabbath rest, but it's not what you think it is. Because he says those who have entered God's rest, so those who have entered, I think Paul is saying, from the rest of striving to be good enough to perform and to do good works and to offer sacrifices and all these things that the Israelites had to do, says whoever has entered God's rest has rested from his works as God did from his. Wow. So, absolutely there is Sabbath rest, but it's not in the way that we think it is. It's not this rule that, hey, you better rest on Sundays or Saturdays or whatever you pick. We have eternal rest. Hmm. So people, do you practice the Sabbath? 24/7, man. Because we're resting from the striving of the law. Because Jesus came. So the Sabbath points to Jesus. He is our rest. We don't have to strive anymore. So I guess in case people aren't hearing it fully, so do Christians have to keep the Sabbath?
They do not.
Whoa!
No! But they keep it in Christ every day.
Yeah.
So physically observing one day a week is no longer required, just like circumcision and the Passover lamb
and
the Day of Atonement.
Yeah.
Because it's all been fulfilled in Christ. So the work has been done. So Matthew 11, we read this, and Matthew is a Jew writing to Jews. Hmm. And so in Matthew 11:28, he's talking to the Israelites, those that are under this burden of the Pharisees trying to live up to all their rules and regulations.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that would have been huge for the Israelites. Like, we can have rest.
Yeah.
We don't have to strive and keep all these rules. Because I'm sure they all knew, and a lot of them were discouraged, there's no way I can do this.
Oh, yeah.
I can't keep, I'm doomed.
Yep.
And here Jesus says, come to me and you'll have rest. And that was spiritual rest.
Yeah.
Would have been like, whoa.
Yeah. Because, the law was never meant to give that. The law was meant to point out, it seems funny, the law was meant to point out our inability to keep it. Mm-hmm. So God says, here's all of these standards and here's how holy I am and this is what I'm calling you to. And the law was never given that we would go, I can do it. I got it. And no Israelite, no human being ever kept the law perfectly. It was meant to point out the fact that you can't keep it. So still, I think, even though Paul says, he has no quarrel with, hey, if you want to keep a day, I just go, man, you're missing the point for Christians that say, nope, got to keep the Sabbath, no work allowed on this day. I'm just going, I think you're missing the point. You're still in a small way, you're striving to measure up to the law when we don't have to. And not that we just go, it doesn't matter what we do. Yeah. No, but we obey Jesus because we love him, but I don't know, this idea of keeping the Sabbath, to me, it's just a, okay, I did it this week. Mm-hmm. Okay, I obeyed one of the Ten Commandments. I'm good to go. Like, I'm like, that doesn't sound restful to me.
No, it doesn't. That is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Trying to keep all the things in place. And, you know, if I didn't do it all week, I come to church bummed out and discouraged. Or if I did it, I come like, hey, I can
prideful and yeah,
yeah,
totally
come into your presence. And it's like,
yeah. And when you actually know the spiritual rest, and I love that you pointed that out, that there was nothing about worship, right? It was even, yeah, physical work, but their spiritual work of 6 days trying, offer sacrifices, do this, do that. And when you actually know the spiritual rest of being in Christ and knowing the gospel, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's just, yeah, it's, you can't describe it. It's every day is just kind of like, man, I'm so thankful for Jesus. Yeah. I don't have to strive. And
somebody pointed that out. He said, you know, in the Old Testament, they worked for 6 days, and part of it was religious work to try to keep all the requirements of the covenant. And then Sunday they rested, and then Monday or whatever, the next day they started over again.
Yeah.
And now he says, in Christ, we have our rest, and now we can work because the work's been done.
Yeah.
We can serve Jesus knowing the work is done. Now we can serve him with freedom and joy.
Yeah.
Because we don't have to, okay, I got to do all this sacrifices, rituals, ceremonial cleansing and all this. Like,
wow, it's almost like God in his mercy gave them the Sabbath. And even even Jesus says that Sabbath was made for the man, not man for the Sabbath. So it's almost like God knew, okay, you're going to strive and fail. So I'm just going to even give you a break in the midst of that. So you just rest because you can't do it. All the while they're, you know, God's promising all throughout the Old Testament, hey, the Messiah's coming. Someone's coming who's going to do all of this for you. But it just shows God's mercy in towards his people, that he says, I'm going to actually give you a day of rest from your striving. So, I mean, yeah, to answer that question, if you're listening and wrestling through, man, I feel guilty about not keeping the Sabbath, well, that's not from God, so don't feel guilty about that, because we're not meant to keep doing that. Now, you think about, like, some principles. Sure, is it good to have a day off? Probably, but that has nothing to do with what the Bible's talking about, because it's all pointing to this spiritual rest. So a principle, I mean, should you spend time with your family and have days off? Totally. But don't do that and call it a Sabbath and be like, check, did it. No, that's just a day off. Like, because I think, it's wise to do that kind of stuff, but it has no, a day off with your kids has no, you know, spiritual, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it's not as if God goes, okay, finally, Andrew took a Sabbath. Like, no, it's a good thing to do, but...
Well, it's like you're saying, Jesus did 80%, and by us doing, keeping the Sabbath and doing some of these things, we can top up that. And yeah, it's no longer required.
Yeah, I guess performance was the thing that I was...
Yeah.
This idea of, like, well, if I take a day off, then I'm somehow performing enough for God. And it's like, well, that defeats the whole purpose of Jesus coming. So hopefully if you're listening and you've wrestled with that idea of, like, well, the Sabbath seems to be this covenant forever. It is a covenant forever. But it's been fulfilled in Jesus, and we have rest forever now if you're in Christ, now and for all eternity. So, man, we're always on vacation, spiritually. That was lame. But we have Sabbath rest all the time.
Yeah, and rest doesn't mean we're not serving or working
anymore,
but it just means we no longer have to try to keep all these rules to keep God satisfied. That's already done.
Yeah, so hopefully that's encouraging to you as a follower of Jesus, that you don't have to perform. And you can have that rest from striving to be good enough because the Sabbath was fulfilled in Jesus. So, but a good question that I know lots of Christians wrestle with. So hopefully that's been helpful. And I don't know, you have any last words or no? I'm good. So yeah, if you have other questions that come up, you can always email us or call us, and that's what this is for. So God bless, and hopefully you feel the rest in Jesus. Wasn't that a good closing?